Tonight we're going to bring you the Evangelion Irish drinking song in honor of the character Oscar Langley. She's going to be Irish, but even the actress needs love. Oh, ay, 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 ay.
She said her name was Ray.
She said she was the best.
She said she used America.
I buy it above the rest.
I asked her if she'd go out with me.
I said it's so sincere.
She said, hey, buddy.
You can buy it more rare.
Oh, ay, 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 ay. I was so pleased.
As happy as can be.
I was her man.
And she's the one for me.
I asked her if I
could drop water on in.
And she said, hey, buddy.
Hold your breath, we're gonna swim.
I asked her if she did
happen to have any friends.
She said she had a few,
but they were half friends.
There was a sugar
and ginger too.
I asked her if he was strong.
She left the home after.
Then came the angels,
guarded by the light.
I asked old Ray if
she will spend the night.
She paused and gave a thought.
I didn't know what she would say.
She said the angels needed me for it.
They fought the less anyway. Oh, ay, 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 ay. Oh, ay, 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 ay. D-I-D-I.
There's clever engineers.
But now...
Time for ASO Radio. Welcome my fellow otaku to ASO Radio episode number 63. This is NV17.
NV3.
Bringing you live chickens and Irish drinking songs. Which, that funny, has to be our most practiced funny ever. We've been playing this for like 3 weeks or something now because of scheduling and everything.
And Z guy still wasn't able to make it.
I know, I tell you, talk about poor ability to manage time. Anyways, we've got a heck of an episode for you this week. We've got plenty of interesting, groundbreaking in some ways, anime news.
Yes.
We've got a double review of both volumes of Nurse Witch Komugi.
Yay.
And to top it all off, we have a soundtrack review of the Tenchi Moyo in Love movie. So, very fully packed episode. As a matter of fact, it's so fully packed, we even have a fan mail from a fan that's brand new. Is that excellent or what?
Hallelujah!
Alright, well, we've got so much to do. I think we shouldn't waste any time at all, DB3, and get right to it.
Alright, let's go.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News. And as I promised for you, we have most excellent anime news for you this week. DB3, take it away.
Well, first off, we have an Appleseed sequel. LA-based Access Entertainment has teamed up with Maikot and Bizarro, the creators of Appleseed, to co-produce two Appleseed sequels. Planned is an Appleseed TV series and a possible live-action film.
As you know, while the original was half-decent, I don't know if it really garnered enough interest to really spark sequels, but I guess apparently I'm wrong. So, and I've got an interesting story here. I think I may have seen these people before at Nandesucon. Hard to say, but apparently Reuters is reporting that Pandora's Cube, a regular booth at dealers' rooms across North American anime conventions, has been raided for console game piracy, and two individuals have been arrested. A boycott of Pandora's Cube was organized at Otakon 2000 due to the company carrying anime bootlegs, and quite frankly, I think they deserve what they got.
Amen. free Rangoric online trial with Rangoric manga.
Yes, Tokyo Pop has sent out a press release today announcing that in conjunction with Gravity Interactive, the South Korean company that produces Ragnarok Online, they will be giving a free 15-day trial to Ragnarok Online with any purchase of their upcoming Ragnarok manga at Barnes & Noble stores. The funny thing is, of course, is that Ragnarok already does this. All new members get 2 free weeks, but, you know, it's a good way to promote this fact, I suppose.
If you like it.
True, true.
All right, Record of Lotus War on the International Channel. The International Channel will be recording, well, not recording, but showing us Other Splits and its great knowledge, The Record of Lotus Wars, which will be airing Friday at 11 p.m. And again, it's Sunday at 11 p.m., starting on the 17th of December.
Yes, you know, I really like the International Channel because not only do they go and play really good anime for the most part, but they air it subbed, and if you miss it on the one day, they replay it on Sunday. So it really works out well. They also have a couple of Japanese, a game show on it and a talk show. Really wish those were subtitled. Don't have any idea what goes on them. But they're fun to watch, you know, so. Anyways, Zeta has shipped with changes. The much-delayed Mobile Suit Gundam Zeta has shipped from stores, with some people having already received their copies. But viewers have learned that the series opening and ending has been replaced with instrumental music from within the series. Bandai has not yet officially commented on this, but customer service representatives have said that the opening was not changed intentionally, but instead because there were licensing issues when brought over from Japan. It was a compromise that had to be made in order to release the series here in the States. Which, by my reckoning, means they actually intentionally changed it, even though they didn't want to.
The fools they are.
Ah, indeed.
Ooh, this is probably one of the more juicy stories we have today. Media Factory has requested to stop fan subbing. They're a Japanese animated distributor that has requested all links to fan subs of their shows, oh man, to be owned from sites like Anime Suki. According to Anime Suki.
Let's rewind and try that again, DB3.
Alright, I can do that, NZ. Media Factory makes requests to stop fan subbing, as I said. Media Factory, a Japanese anime distributor, has requested that all links to fan subs of its shows be removed from sites like Anime Suki. According to Anime Suki, a law firm representing Media Works contacted them in writing, requesting that the website uploading works anime series of MFI to website and or stop including our visitors to websites where their works can be downloaded. The full statement from Anime Suki can be read
online. Yes, apparently Anime Suki Media Factory owns the rights to various titles including Genshiken, Gakkutsu, Mimiga, Nozumo, Aeon, and School Rumble. And Media Factory, of course, is among the first of Japanese distributors to ask that unauthorized distribution of their anime titles, regardless of whether or not there is an international license, cease. As a matter of fact, as far as I know, they're the first that has ever done that. So, very interesting. I mean, other companies have requested it before, too, but that's usually when they already have an international licensor, such as when Production IG requested the Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex not be fan-subbed. But apparently, the fan-subbers are ignoring Media Factory's request. In addition, of course, to what we just reported, the law firm representing Media Factory has sent letters to several more websites and fan-sub groups. Members of some of these fan-sub groups have stated they plan to continue fan-subbing various Media Factory titles. A spokesperson for Wannabe Fansubs has officially announced that it will ignore the Media Factory request and exercise indifference. Which, you know, I think Media Factory is really kind of ignoring the fact, or just may not be aware of it, that fansubs actually help generate more sales of anime in America because they allow fans to become aware of what is available, and by watching it in advance, they'll get, you know, hooked on these shows most often, and then when the fan subs are pulled from the internet, of course, they'll be then released on DVD here, and then people will buy those up. But if they, it's kind of like the old shareware premise of try before you buy. You get a taste of what it is, and then you decide whether or not you like it. And that's much less risky than somebody having to just buy an anime on good faith.
It makes me remember all those days we spent in high school watching those anime fan subs on the computers there.
Ah, yes. Good times, Zach. Good times.
Yes, yes.
All right, well, I take this next one here, DB3.
Jump Superstars game. Nintendo will be releasing a Jump Superstars game for the Nintendo DS platform. The two-dimensional fighting game will include characters from... Well, what is that game?
Bobo.
Wow. Death Note, Dragon Ball Z, Ichigo 100%, Naruto, and One Piece. Some images from the game and publicity material can be found on the internet.
Yes. It's very interesting. It's kind of like the old Sega Fighters Mega Mix or the more modern Nintendo Super Smash Brothers. And anyways, we've got some interesting news for the people following the Anime Network's Trials and Tribulations. Apparently, they've announced a deal with Buckeye Cable System to offer the Anime Network's linear channel, aka regular channel, to viewers in Toledo and Sandusky, Ohio, as early as December 1st. And this just proves a long-held belief of Drew Carey, who is also on Whose Line Is It Anyway, which we've never seen before, I should mention. Not that they have a similar Irish drinking song game on their show. Okay, truth be told, both very good shows, but the theme song on the Drew Carey show is right. Cleveland, Ohio rocks, because apparently they get to have anime for free, and not just whatever the Cartoon Network will dish out. Of course, we can get to that later in a rant and rave, which has been requested in the fan mail. But regardless, take this next one, DB3.
Animego has announced that as of December 31st, it will no longer sell nor distribute any copies of Get This, the Macross television series.
Which is very surprising, since it's been a staple of anime for such a long time. I mean, given, and if the audience will pardon my language, it is a bastard child of three different series, still, it has a very nostalgic following.
Yes.
Anyhow, apparently, even the Japanese Prime Minister seeks advice every now and again. A report from the Japan Forum on International Relations has advised Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi that Japan should promote its culture abroad as a tool of foreign policy. The growing international popularity of anime and... anime? It's a good thing I didn't say anime. And Japanese movies are seen as cultural assets and are referred to by the report as Japan's gross national cool. The AFP article on the report can be found on their website.
And Miyazaki wins awards. Miyazaki has won a special jury prize for his complete body of works, all his works, at the world's largest fantasy film festival, the site's International Film Festival of Catalina, which ended on Friday.
As additionally, Miyazaki's Howl's Moving Castle won the Audience Award for Best Film.
Katashiro Otomo's Steam Boy won the Gertie Award for the Best Animation Film.
Yes, and you can visit the Sitges International Film Festival website for a full list of the winners.
And get this. This is a story we've been following up for the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Miyazaki's Howling Castle.
Howl's Moving Castle. That's the name of the witch.
Okay. All right. According to Hollywood Reporter, Howl's Moving Castle has earned... over 79 million dollars, or 8.4 billion yen.
Yes, that's done that in only 23 days since it's been released theatrically in Japan. Comparatively, Spirit Away earned 10 billion yen in the first 25 days of its release, so it's a little bit below par, but still, very respectable.
It has two more days to make up that 2 billion yen.
Yeah, that's very true. Who knows? It could do it.
Yeah. And we have a great announcement for all you
Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans.
If you want one of the most rare and extremely powerful Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards currently available, all you have to do is head to eBay.
Yes, apparently the Cyberstein card, one of only two English language versions, is now on eBay, and the current high bid is at $23,100, and there's only about one day left to bid.
So... you better get down there and get it if you want it.
Indeed. Apparently, right now, there's only two English Cyberstein cards available in existence, and they were both given away at Gen Con SoCal, one to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament winner at the Shonen Jump-sponsored contest, and the other in raffle. So, apparently these aren't going to be the only cards ever made, as apparently future ones will be given away at other cons. But the next ones, if you want to win them that way, will be available at the Shonen Jump Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG Championship in Las Vegas. And so that's very exciting. But what makes the one currently on eBay different is it is the very first one ever produced in English, which of course has added to its value. Apparently not added to its value as enough, as apparently a $25,300 bid that was there only a few days back was retracted.
How sad. But I don't know if I'd spend even $25 on it. But the Japanese version of Cyberstein occasionally shows up on eBay and is auctioned off for less than $50. The English card is legal in the North American Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments, though.
Yeah, so I guess they don't allow Japanese cards for whatever reason. I don't think that would fly with the Pokemon set.
Yeah, that, people would probably get pretty upset about that.
Yes, yes. So, like we said, very exciting news, but we also have very exciting reviews, so hold on to your twos, because here it comes at yous.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for the weekly anime review. This week we are reviewing Nurse Witch Kamugi.
Yes, the weekly are reviews. They are not weak.
No, they aren't weak.
You know, at times like this, I wish we had T-Man still on the show, DB3, because he was really good at reviewing shows like this particular one. As a matter of fact, which particular one is it that we're reviewing this week?
We are reviewing the first two DVDs of the OAV.
The OAV of Nurse Witch Kamugi. And interesting fact is, when I first started watching this, I was like, alright, cool, this is pretty cool, you know, TV series, and wait a minute, it's OAV, the end, what the crap, you know, but anyways, yes, we'll be reviewing both DVDs, giving each of the DVDs their own independent scores. And so, of course, it's always best to start these sort of things at the beginning. And so, DB3, how about you go and tell us a bit about the characters and what have you in the show?
Well, first off, we have Kamugi. She was a young girl, and there was an accident in the Kingdom of Vaccine where an evil virus got away and got into the Earthworld. What was that little guy's name?
I think his name was, like, Mugimaru.
Yeah. The Queen of Vaccine sent Mugimaru to give someone the Nurse Witch powers to stop the evil viruses from taking over. And
Mugimaru happens to come across Kamugi, who herself is actually a cosplayer that works for a talent agency. And because of this fact, she goes and takes him up on the offer, not because she wanted to defend the world, but because she could dress up in a very cute outfit.
Yes. And she goes around. The first episodes are pretty cool. They introduce you to the people. There's her boss. Mm. I don't remember any of the names, unfortunately.
It don't matter too much in the end.
There's the company's boss, who's a pretty cranky lady, if you make her mad. There's her direct boss, who's a guy who always gets mad at her because she runs off to save the world. There's her big-breasted companion.
Yes, yes, a fellow co-worker, which she always rams heads with.
Yes. There's her boyfriend, or the guy she has a crush on in another company. There's just more people like that.
Yeah, there's plenty of people. There's also the little girl model for the company that really hates her. There's her new friend that works at the company. And then, of course, the other company has to have an executive that used to be the ex-boyfriend of the current runner of the company Kamugi worked for.
There's also her fans.
Yes, of course, her crazy obsessive fans, which are very humorous. They show up in episode 2. And also, rounding out this cast, is her best friend, her childhood chum, that she goes to school with, but this childhood chum actually leads a double life.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, she has the big vaccine inside her, I believe, and she's the one going around causing problems.
Yeah, she was chosen by Ungrar, the virus that escaped, the super powerful one, as basically his inoculator, giving people the virus and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so it more or less establishes itself in the first two episodes, and you know, parroting magical girl anime and setting itself up to parry lots of other things. Lots of anime references in this show.
Yeah.
Lots of Japanese pop culture references. And this is one of its greatest strengths, but also one of its greatest weaknesses. Another show that did this was Excel Saga, which has, you know, it's a very good show, very funny, and it parodies a lot of things, but here's where the difference is Excel Saga, the viewing is enhanced by knowing about these cultural references, but they are not necessary. In Nurse Witch Komugi, unfortunately, it seems that unless you know what they're talking about, it's not nearly as funny as it could be.
That's true, that's true.
Which is very disappointing. And so about episode, well, where episode 3 would be, they did an episode 2.5, which was more or less a music video filler sort of episode. Like we mentioned before, this was an OAB. And what I imagine is that the first two volumes hadn't been selling very well. And so what they did is they called all the creatives together. They called the public relations people, marketing, whatever. They got them all together. They're like, all right, this isn't selling as well as we'd like, so let's go and reinvent the series. So then the second DVD comes out, and everything's completely changed.
Completely.
Yes, it's kind of just weird they make all these changes. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little, so let's backtrack a bit to the first one. The series has very nice, very catchy music.
Yeah.
Really enjoy it quite a lot. And the animation style is just plain awesome.
I love the animation.
I forget what it's called exactly, but, well, it's like it has thick black outlines, really colorful, a bit more simplistic, but with details here and there. What were you going to say about it, DB3?
It's beautiful, like, there's some, just like the way they move and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yes, very, very cool indeed. And so this, the first volume, it's not like super duper, but it's really addictive, I'd have to say. And so we'll go ahead and give our reviews for the first volume real quick. I'm going to give the first volume a recommended. It's not exactly highly recommended material, but it just has certain addictive qualities that really endear you to the series.
I'd have to agree with it. The first DVD gets recommended. If the 2.5 on there was a little bit more interesting, maybe it could have got a highly recommended, but all the J-pop and long songs sort of...
Komugi's music video is pretty cool, but the one before that,
The driving one?
Yeah, with her crush, it just went on forever! but regardless of whether we liked the first one or not, it was the Japanese public that had the say on this one. And so then the second DVD came out. DB3, give us a brief rundown of all the changes they made.
Well, one of the biggest changes was they all more or less stopped trying to worry about the vaccines. And
it's like they threw that out of the window.
Yeah, that is just gone. They changed her outfit a little.
Did a completely new opening. Completely confuses you if you watch it for the first time. You're like, is this still part of the little intro part or what?
Along with the new opening, they did a new closing. They did one like for like almost every episode, didn't they?
Well, the first three used the same closing and opening. And then the second three, they had a different... opening that was on all three of them, and then the closing for the last three was different for each of the episodes.
It was crazy.
And more or less, like DB3 said, they threw out the idea of having an actual plot line. It's like they went and they watched Excel Saga and they went, you know, this is a really funny show. We'll just go and make ours exactly like that since that was really funny and sold well. And so they did, but the problem is that with Excel Saga, there is order to their chaos. There is sense to their insanity. There is rhyme to their reason. But in this, it got really confusing at points. You didn't know what was going on.
Or why they were doing certain things they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, the first episode was really good. Kind of like they're reinventing her. She dies a couple of times like that ain't taken right from Excel Saga. you know, more or less that episode is pretty funny. They did some good stuff with that, like her rival from the virus world going about it. And turning all the people into crazy motor vehicles and whatnot, and how all of her companions were better off with her not there, and so she started haunting their suits,
it improved their cells.
Yeah, it drastically improved their cells. To everybody wanted to spot the ghost and what she did and whatnot, even though it was harrowing all the people in the shop and whatnot. but then the fifth and sixth episodes just got really disjointed.
They're like just way out there. Like they just didn't hook.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like they went way fanboyish with the Excel Saga thing. So they even have the director from Excel Saga in the fifth episode. You know, yeah. I mean, really, it's just crazy. Although, I do have to admit, it was kind of cool in the English dub, ADV did use the same voice actor for Watanabe in this, and so that was pretty cool right there. But they did parody some other anime in there. They did, like, Speed Racer was one, Love Hina, like we said, Excel Saga, Battle of the Planets, Power Rangers. They parodied a lot of stuff.
I liked in the opening credits how they had the different people, like the Christmas Girl, Mookie, and the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the second opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny when she was dressed up as the singer from Kiss. So, anyways, it's kind of like you really like the first volume, really get into it, and then the second volume comes along, and you just get confused.
Yeah, I think if you don't compare the two, like, if you didn't watch the first volume and you just watched the second one,
mm-hmm.
maybe then it could be better.
Yeah, that could be. But as it is, you know, they should have just called it something else because it's something completely else from the first set.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyways, for this one, I'm going to give it a neutral because the first episode on the second DVD, so there's only three episodes on each of these DVDs, the first one on the second DVD was really, really good. I was going to give it a highly recommended based off of that, but then it just fell apart with the second two.
And personally, I'll give it a recommended. Both of them, I'll give them recommends. Just when you're watching them, don't try and put them together. Don't hook them together. Just watch them as two different shows.
Yeah, briefly I'd like to mention that the English dub for this show is pretty good, but the Japanese dub just has a lot more charm to it.
Yeah.
It really does. So if you're going to watch this, I'd say you could really go either way, but personally I got more enjoyment out of the sub.
Fan mail.
ODB3.
Yes, Enzi?
Do you know what time it is?
What time? Oh my goodness! It can't be!
It is!
It's my favorite part of the show! 6:37 p.m. Yay!
Fan mail! Yes, that's right, fan mail! And this one is from a man going by the name of Ace321. He writes, Ace Radio Fan Mail. Wow, for his subject. DB3, take it away.
Alright, I'll read it just how it's written. Alright, it says, this show is cool, and all of y'all are the coolest. I don't know if I agree with the way you don't like Ghost in the... with the way y'all don't like Ghost in the Shell. Hey, no one likes the same things, though, right? I feel bad for y'all, because as you side living in a small town... has got to suck down here. Down here in Baton Rouge, we have plentiful supply of anime. Well, thanks, NZ and DB3.
Alright, and now, here's the Service for Fans, Acer Radio, email translator. Okay? This is a cool show, and you all are the coolest. I don't know if I agree with the way you don't like Ghost in the Shell, but hey, no one likes the same things, right? I feel bad for you all, because you live in a small town, and that has got to suck because down here in Baton Rouge, we have a plentiful supply of anime. Well, thanks, Anzi and DB3. Well, you know, thank you, Ace321, for sending in this fan mail. We always appreciate it. We especially like hearing from new fans.
New fans. It makes us happy.
Yes, it really goes and warms the cockles of the heart. It does kind of suck having a small selection here available in town. But thanks to the majesty of the combination of the United States Postal Service, the newest iteration of ARPANET, which we like to call the Internet, and a online DVD rental services, thankfully we can go and rent just about any anime we want, though it is sad not to have the convenience to just go down to the store. However, further, there is more to Ace321's fan mail. DB3, go ahead and read this, and I'll give our fan translation.
You want a rant and rave idea? Well, how about talking about how most of the anime that comes to the U.S. for the television mostly sucks? For example, 90% of the stuff on G4, or most of all the stuff on any channel. You don't have to use the idea, you don't have to use it, I just think it'd be funny. I mean, my friends and I are always talking about it.
And I think that one more or less speaks well enough for itself. and a very good rant and rave idea. The suckiness of anime available on consumer television is most definitely a subject that we have plenty to say about. As a matter of fact, I do believe we've ranted about that before in previous ASO Radio episodes, but it's always good to have more fodder for future episodes. So we will most definitely be going and giving our rant on that on a future episode of ASO Radio. If you would like to send in fan mail to ASO Radio, be sure to visit the ASO Radio site and click on the link that says Send Fan Mail. Fill out our simple form. Don't have to fill out your email address if you don't want to, because we don't need it for any particular reason except to write you back and say we'll be featuring your fan mail on such and such episode. Be sure to listen in. So feel free to write in and maintain your privacy if you so desire. Either way, though, we never give out any of our fans' email addresses to any third parties, and we personally just don't actually even use them ourselves. So be sure to send in some fan mail for next episode's ASO Radio.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
Okie dokie, then. We've got the hot spot for everybody. And this week's hot spot, we're going to be reviewing the Tenchi Muyo in Love soundtrack. The full title of this soundtrack is... Let me get the disc here. It's called Christopher Franck, because he's the one that did the soundtrack. Original soundtrack from Tenchi the movie, Tenchi Muyo in Love. Very long title, but, you know, it's a very long soundtrack. I mean, my goodness, there's 63 different tracks on this.
Holy cow.
Yes, they're actually, there's even the original opening song and a remix of the original opening song. And so it's very crazy, very crazy. Apparently, the remix is exclusive to this CD. Has a total running time of 61 minutes and 16 seconds. Most CDs usually have about 50 minutes or so, but this one, it goes on for quite a time. Anyways, let's go ahead and give you a brief listening to all 23 tracks, which may take a while, so that you can go and form your initial opinions, and I'll serve you up the full-size version of those in just a moment. well, as can be plainly heard, this soundtrack is, of course, to the movie Tenchu Muyo in Love, the very first Tenchu Muyo movie. And as a result, just about every track on here is instrumental background music.
Yay, background music.
unfortunately, the background music in this is very repetitive. The tracks may be different from one to another, but a lot of the tracks are just more or less remixes of tracks that have come before. And so going in, including a remix of the opening, was kind of just adding insult to injury. So though there may be 23 tracks to this, it's more like there's 12 tracks and you hear them all more or less twice. But it's not a bad purchase, per se, as to you get a lot of music for your money, but all in all, the soundtrack isn't really that interesting. It's not something you can actively listen to, tap your feet to, you know, dance to, if you will.
Just the one time, the little bit I listened to it, mm-hmm. that was probably enough for me.
Yeah, even the intro song, while, you know, nice in its own way, it's not a very snazzy tune. And I suppose this movie, since it was made, what, after or around Tenchi Universe or something, it more or less kind of just is really relaxed, not a lot of excitement happening. And so the soundtrack kind of comes off as, well, boring. But it does, however, make for a somewhat decent background music when you're doing something like reading or surfing the internet or maybe programming for those of you out there who do that. But actually just sitting down and listening to the background music while doing these activities is no good because, like I said, it's very repetitive. And so if you have this mixed in with other instrumental music, not half bad. But if it's just this, you're going to want to jam a screwdriver through your earlobe. More or less, the Tenchu Muyo in Love soundtrack by Christopher Franck is somewhat good, but not really good enough for me to recommend it. So I'm going to have to give this one, though while not horrible, not exactly wonderful, a neutral recommendation. And so, thus we come to the end of another Aisho Radio episode. It almost seems, DB3, that whenever we do the hotspot, then we have to end the show. So my theory is, if we don't do the hotspot on future episodes, then we wouldn't have to have the sad task of ending the show. It would just abruptly stop. And I think everybody would enjoy that much, much more.
Yeah, us getting done with our reviews and just like...
Did my internet connection die? is there something wrong with the player? Oh, it's over, I guess. No, I'll have to just stop. I'll listen to that again, see what... Oh, I guess that is the idea. I guess maybe it wasn't that good of an idea.
Maybe then it's right in and say, what happened?
I guess it would be a good way to get
fan mail.
So unless you want us to start cutting out, and cutting out bits of the show for no apparent reason, send in your fan mail. It's your civic duty. Anyways, for episode 63 of Acer Radio, this is NZ17
and DB3
signing out.